Welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. Discussion, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby Kent. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason, flying solo tonight, trying to squeeze one in before the Easter festivities, and obviously two games to look at for Derby County. But we're going to start with another defeat, third straight defeat, third game where Derby haven't scored. Another game, is it three in a row now, where Derby have conceded two? Certainly lost 2-0, same scoreline. Obviously, against different opponents, probably a step up in quality. Unfortunately, same result on Saturday at Pride Park against a very informed Tractor Boys. Obviously, the Ipswich came into this, not conceded, I think, in six or seven. Won the last, you know, God knows how many. So, you know, really, really flying at the moment in terms of league form. But still, it was obviously Derby coming in on it, on the back of it, in different form. But still, it was a home game. It was a chance for Derby to put down a marker that this season isn't over for them. Ultimately, this result has ended Derby's run in the top six. They are now just outside on goal difference. But obviously, as we said, a lot of football to be played still between now and the end of the season, especially with this Easter weekend coming up. Four games in 11 days definitely is going to shape up the running for this season. So to the game then, it was a change back to a 3-5-2. Not seen that in a while. And in the opening 10 minutes, Derby looked like a team that had not played that formation for about 4 months. They were all over the place. There was an early shout for, I think it was Cashin, to get sent off. Got a booking. Definitely have seen those given as a red card. So Derby got away with the one. But it was a very slow build-up to the game. Building into the game. Ipswich just looked that cut above, as they did for the majority of the game, in all fairness. And yeah, it took Derby a while to get their foot into the game. And it was, I think it was from a Derby corner that Ipswich opened the scoring on the break. Caught Derby out cold, and well, Derby just didn't recover well from that situation. Unfortunately, when you've got a bit of a slow back line like we have, that's always going to make things tougher. And Derby find themselves 1-0 down. Didn't react in the worst way. You always felt that if Derby could just get themselves going, that there'd be something in the game for them. They did huff and puff. Closing stages of the first half, David McGoldrick misses a very solid chance, it's fair to say, heading into the side netting. But went into the break, 1-0 down. Came out second half, and it was much better, I thought, for that opening gambit. And 6 minutes, I think it was, into the second half, Derby have the ball into the back of the net, which is the biggest talking point, certainly from Derby's point of view, of this game, that was ruled out. And to be honest with you, I can't see the reason why. I know a lot of fans can't see the reason why. There was another word on an apology from the officials that they think they might have got it wrong. I think allegedly there might have been some form of foul either on the goalkeeper or an Ipswich player from Hayden Roberts. In my opinion, not so sure. There were shouts for David McGoldrick to be offside. Again, not so sure. And it was just, Derby just started to get that bit of momentum. And that really would have, I think, would have really have injected the game where the crowd got behind was going to get behind it. The celebrations, unfortunately, short-lived. But I think that would have given Derby a step into the game, and could have really have gone on from that. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And then for again another 5, 10 minutes, Derby knocked at the door a little bit, just couldn't in the end muster the quality that was required. And in the end, unfortunately, obviously Derby, as you would expect, pushing further forward, concede a second. And it was pretty much game over. So it leaves Derby, as I said at the beginning of the piece, three straight defeats, no goal in three games. And it's hard to say a chance missed, because at the end of the day, 2-0 is against a team who were flying. It is obviously pretty comprehensive. But there were that goals change games. Derby missed just before half time. Got Derby's goal disallowed just after half time. Could have changed the whole complexity of the game, could have changed the complexity of the top six. But as it stands, Derby sit outside on goal difference, and another game where we've lost, another game where we haven't scored a goal. So it's a little bit frustrating. It's a little bit worrying at the moment. And I think it's, I don't know. I don't know. The debate obviously is, are Derby good enough to be in those playoffs? I think that is something I'm going to cover in a bit more detail a little bit later on. But I still think it. I still do think they can. But of course, it's with each game going by, not picking up the result, not scoring the goals, conceding far too many just recently. It's obvious that something's got to change. As I say, the formation, he tried to change it back to a 3-5-2. I'm still not confident 3-5-2 with the players that Derby have got is the right formation in all areas. But at the end of the day, to change runs, certainly losing ones, you've got to try something different. And the personnel really can't change massively. So the one thing that can change, of course, is trying to change the formation and the way that we play, which is what Paul One did. And unfortunately, it's just not worked. Was it the right choice to do it against a team who were absolutely flying at the, in what, third, and in a real rich vein of form? Maybe, maybe not. But at the end of the day, I suppose we if nothing had changed, it was the same old, and it was still the same scoreline, people would still have something to say about that. So, kudos for him trying. But unfortunately, it just wasn't there. And obviously, at the minute, Ipswich are still sat outside of the automatic positions, very much in contention for them. If Derby can sneak into the playoffs in the final 7, 8 games, a two-legger against Ipswich would be a difficult one, as would, I think, all of the teams who are currently sat in and around those playoff positions. I'm not sure that any of them are particularly what Derby want at the moment, unless they can somehow in this last 7, 8 games go unbeaten in those 7, 8 games, win 5 or 6 of them. You would then say Derby going into it in a bit of form. Unfortunately, on the basis of the last month and a half, I just don't see that happening. I don't think there's not enough personnel that can change. I think they look tired. I think a little bit we've kind of run out of ideas. What you've got to remember is, in a lot of those games in the unbeaten run, Derby took the lead for a fair amount of them, and that was good enough. They could build on, but obviously, yeah, whenever we're going behind in games, we are struggling really. And at home, it's disappointing, because that's obviously been where our best football's sort of been this year. We've had a very, very solid home record, and that's even started to just fail a little bit with the Shrewsbury draw, the loss against Fleetwood, and obviously the loss against Ipswich now. So that is something that we need to try and rectify. It's coming obviously at the wrong time of the season. It's coming at the business end, and as I say, can I see really too much changing between now and the end of the season? I'm not sure. Fixtures arguably are some tough, some not so tough. But that's on paper. Until they walk across that white line, we really don't know. Most people would have put Derby down as a home banker against Fleetwood. It didn't happen. So, yeah, not a great state at this moment in time in terms of Derby's form. But the top six race is heating up, and that's what we're going to move on to next. So, on to the playoff race. Seven games to go. Obviously, after the two over Easter, that's going to be down to five. And as I say, 4 games in 11 days is really, really going to shape up the race. I still think it's still probably going to be open in four games time, but I think we'll have a bit of a better picture. Obviously, as I say, Derby falling out on goal difference. We're actually equal on goal difference, so it's obviously with Peterborough, so it's obviously going down to results against us. So at the moment, Sheffield Wednesday on top. They faltered as of late on 80 points. Plymouth in second with a game in hand on 80 points, so they could well, with that game in hand, take over Sheffield Wednesday. Ipswich have got a game in hand on Sheffield Wednesday on 78. So if they win their game in hand, they'd creep up into that top two. Barnsley 5 points behind with a game in hand on Sheffield Wednesday, so they could. But they've been on a little bit of a up and down run just recently, and then it's the drop back, and obviously the one that Derby County fans and us here on the podcast are more interested in, and it's that race for the, I'd say, fifth and sixth spots. Bolton at the moment in fifth on 64, Peterborough in sixth on 64, Derby in seventh on 64. Then come Wickham. Bolton do have a game in hand on Peterborough and Derby at the moment. Then come Wickham on 39 games as well. Bolton have got a game in hand on those. So it could just be that we're fighting for this sixth spot. But then come Wickham on 62, Portsmouth on 61, Shrewsbury in 10th are back on 55. It's not mathematically, because they do have a game in hand on Derby. So if they was to win that, it would just cut the gap to six. But I do think it is probably a race now for that, for those final two positions between Bolton, Peterborough, Derby, Wickham, Portsmouth. The problem is obviously Bolton on the back of their EFL Trophy win last week over Plymouth. Now, comfortable 4-0 win, even though Plymouth didn't put out their strongest side. Bolton are in a little bit of indifferent form. Peterborough, after obviously picking up the result against us last week at London Road, could only manage a draw at Oxford. Obviously, they're struggling at the moment. So who knows what their form is at the moment. Then come us, who obviously are very on indifferent form at the moment. Wickham and Portsmouth, who have obviously been putting a bit of a run together. So it's really, really going to be interesting to see how things go over the Easter period. And as I say, the Easter period, it's going to, you'd think, shake up. We might know a little bit more by the end of that. With 5 games to go, we might just know a little bit more. Obviously, Derby's two trips, which we're going to talk about in more detail a little bit later, is first up to Forest Green on Good Friday, a team who are rock bottom of the league, but beat Sheffield Wednesday away la at home last week, weekend before, whenever it was. So obviously a tough one. MK Dons, who have over the last couple of weeks picked up some results, last couple of games, sorry, and they've managed to climb themselves out of the relegation zone. But it is, they've only got a 5 point gap at the minute, so they're still scrapping down there. They're going to want to make sure of their survival as well. So, and that one's at home at Pride Park, obviously, on Easter Monday. So it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Looking at the fixtures on Good Friday, teams, I think as I say, the ones who I think we're interested in, Bolton, Tricky Tie away at Exeter. Obviously, we're at Forest Green. Wickham go to Ipswich. That could be a big one. Portsmouth go to MK Dons. And then Peterborough are away at Shrewsbury. So Friday could have a big say. If Derby can pick up those points against the bottom of the league. Then comes Monday, which is going to be a bit more interesting. Bolton at home against Cambridge. Peterborough at home against Exeter. Portsmouth are at home against Morecambe. Wickham are at home against Forest Green Rovers. So basically, Friday, everybody in the playoff race has got a bit of a difficult away trip. I'd still put Derby in there, that they've got a difficult away trip, even though it's against bottom of the league. But then at home, on the Monday, all those teams are at home. And you would say on paper that they're all games that, they should be winning. Any points dropped is going to affect you would assume. So I'm going to say it before we go into the previews of these two games. I'm going to say it. I think if Derby don't get 6 points out of the next two, I've got a feeling that realistically, even though it may not be mathematically, if Derby don't manage to win both of these games and start to turn that little bit of form, I think Derby's playoff race is probably over. Other than some miraculous goings on, unless every team, what we've just mentioned, decides to have a stinker between now and the end of the season. Can't see that happening personally. And at the end of the day, I know it's the playoffs, anything can happen. You don't really want to be going into them on bad form. We've done that in the past, never really boded too well. So we'll have to wait and see. Next week's podcast, after the Milton Keynes game, we'll know a little bit more. And hopefully, fingers crossed, Derby are back in that top six. And who knows, maybe even a couple of points gap looking into the final five. That would be a fantastic Easter weekend. However, as we say, as the form that Derby are on, can you expect 6 points? No, I don't think you can. But it's going to be an interesting time. But we'll cover all that next week on the podcast and see where things lie before two tricky away trips. I believe it is Bristol Rovers away and Exeter away. So really, it's two games that Derby have to take advantage of, I think, this weekend. And if they can, I think the race continues. If not, I'm not so sure. So, as we said earlier, the first of Derby County's games over this Easter weekend period is a trip to the new lawn and to Forest Green Rovers. Obviously, not the first time we've been there, second time we've been there, as we was there, when was it, 2008 in the FA Cup, I think it was, where Derby found themselves 3-0 down after about 28 minutes. So hopefully not a repeat of that one. But obviously, looking back at the fixture earlier on this year, it's when Derby was in that nice bit of form. Derby ran out winners. Was it 4-0, I believe? But if memory serves me right, the game that day was pretty boring. I know that, some would say that you're never happy. But with 4-0 victory at home, what do what more do you expect? But I just remember the game being quite flat. Obviously, that's down to your opponents as well. Didn't feel like they really put in a great deal of effort. Felt like it was a bit of a training game for Derby, but they managed to run out 4-0 winners. I fully expect, obviously, a tougher game on Friday. And as I said a minute ago, they are bottom of the league, and they're bottom of the league for a reason. Obviously, they have brought in a new management over the last couple of months, few weeks. Haven't really changed a great deal about their fortunes, obviously, other than picking up that result against Sheffield Wednesday there. So that just goes to show you that they're no mugs. They can surprise, they can get a result. And Derby are going to go into this one, not in the greatest of forms, not with the greatest of confidence, and looking for the first goal in four games, which is obviously not really the kind of run that you want to be going into it on. However, Derby have got to, one of the things, certainly under Paul Warne, that they've managed to do against the lower sides in the division away from home is pick up results. Obviously, not so much against the better sides, but against the lower sides, obviously, Oxford. We won at Oxford not so long ago, even though it wasn't the greatest of performances. We come away with the 3 points, and it's about that now at this moment in time. Obviously, we want Derby to be playing well as well and flying into hopefully the playoffs. But at the moment, because of everything that's going on, Derby have got to stop the rot, just pick up the 3 points, get out, get back up the road from Gloucestershire, and then focus on obviously Monday's game against MK Dons. We'll have a preview from a Forest Green perspective in a little moment, because they'll know a damn sight more than I do about Forest Green. But looking at Derby for the game on Friday, it's going to be an interesting one. As I say, a visit back to the 3-5-2 against Ipswich. Do we expect to see that again? I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. Possibly. Possibly. Fully expecting James Chester to be back in and around the first team fold. Now he's had two or three games with the under 23s. And obviously was part of that productive 3-5-2 when Paul Warne first came in. But obviously there was a reason why he swapped it. And I'm a bit horses for courses with it at the moment. It's difficult. If you're not getting results with your preferred formation, with your preferred players, like I mentioned earlier, you've got to change something. We can't really change all that many personnel, unfortunately. So usually tactics are the way to go. They'll have had a full week to work on it. And so I suppose really at the end of the day that there's no excuses. There's big ramifications for both teams. Forest Green don't, I think they're down anyway, but if Forest Green don't win, it's just another nail in their coffin. If Derby don't pick up the 3 points, it's another nail in their coffin and looking more likely another season at League One. So it is going to be a difficult game, of course. Sheffield Wednesday found that out 2 weeks ago. They would have been absolute odds on to go there and turn them over. Didn't go that way. But if Derby can channel what they channeled in the reverse fixture at Pride Park, then Derby have got a pretty good chance. And that's what we've got to hope for. As I say, got to hope we can get out of Gloucestershire with the 3 points by hook or by crook. I really don't care, and try and get this playoff push back on track. But for more of an opinion on Forest Green and how their season's been going, let's hand over.
In terms of the season so far, I think before the Wednesday success, it was a really tough challenge. No win since December 10th, and that was a real surprise to pick up a result like that. In terms of how the season as a whole has gone, I think they'll be very disappointed. They'll be disappointed with the number of change at the club. They haven't really had a settled team or a settled backroom staff as well. I think the chief executive went at the back end of 2022, and then the manager going in 2023. It's just been a lack of stability at the club, which has really transferred onto the pitch as well. I think I was looking at the team that last played against Derby only on, I think it was 17th of December. McGee, Hendry, Boys, Fabian, March. So five of your 11 that day have all gone in January. Either gone on sold loans or gone back to other clubs. So when you're looking at that, and that was only a matter of months ago, it only points to where the season has kind of gone this season. In terms of manager Duncan Ferguson coming in, it's incredible really to attract a name like Duncan Ferguson to really, I think a lot of fans do call it a village side in Gloucestershire. So to be able to take that almost Premier League legend in a way and have him down at Forest Green is quite incredible. I couldn't believe the news myself when I first heard the rumours of it. So I was absolutely delighted to hear that we were getting really someone with that sort of. It's his first role in senior management, but so the pedigree's not really there. But he's worked under some brilliant managers, and I think he wants to try and get that across. He could try and take as much from each manager as possible. And I think that's the key of getting something from it. So to have someone like Duncan Ferguson come and join the FA on a 5.5 year deal as well, by the way, takes a lot of people by surprise. The length of the deal, which is obviously probably quite lucrative, to see out a 5.5 year deal, I think would be he'd be in a very good light if that's the case. He said he doesn't want to go anywhere. He said he's committed to the challenge, committed to Dale Vince, as you could probably hear in a few things that he said in Sky interviews lately. So if that is true and all the stars align, it could be a really successful spell for Duncan Ferguson and Forest Green. It's just exciting what you can kind of build next season, I think, with not too many games to go in the season. I think it's now a case of looking at what planning can be done for next season. I'm not too sure how many players are actually contracted next season, but I don't think it's a full 11, for example. And with a lot of change in January, it's a little bit interesting to see whether those players have actually earned the shirt that they've had or whether the team is no better. So in that aspect, big decisions for Duncan Ferguson to make. There's no head of recruitment at the moment. That still needs to be decided. It's just a real interesting phase of Forest Green, which they can make a lot of decisions and they can go good or bad. First season at League One was always going to be a challenge, but I think at the same time they've got to take some learning curves from the season, so to take into if they do manage to put together a really successful spell next season. Key players, I think Corey O'Keefe, and he's two games suspended lately, but he's back into the side I would fully expect. Usually a right back, but playing right wing since Duncan Ferguson's come in, and he's been really positive every time that he's played. He's got quite a few assists this season. He was up there towards the top of the list halfway through the season, so he'll be pretty happy with his output. And if there was one player to probably stay in League One, it probably would be Corey. So he's had a good enough season to kind of warrant staying in the league, or maybe coming down with Forest Green, but being a definite starter. Brandon Cooper, another one. He's been brilliant on loan since he joined from Swansea. He's a real commanding presence at the back, but still young in age. So there's a lot more development to be done from him. And I think Swansea were very keen on getting the right loan move for him because he needs to play football, and they trusted Forest Green in that aspect. And Jordan Garrick has got 4 goals already this season as well since joining in January. So it's been exciting for him. Strangely, hasn't put together a 90-minute performance since joining the club, but I think that's just gaining his fitness and gaining a little bit more trust in what he can do ball retention wise. I think that's one thing that Duncan Ferguson wants a bit more of from him. Keep that ball a little bit better, but he's also got that eye for a goal. And when you've got that, it's a matter of time before you get that work ethic in. And under Duncan Ferguson, they have definitely said they're fitter. They definitely said they're running more. Miles Pat-Harris ran 33% more in that Sheffield Wednesday game, or sprinted 33% more than he has done ever this season. So if that's just a pointer in the right direction, just for one singular player, I think that's a positive step. In terms of strengths, compact is a big key phrase at the moment. To be able to be as compact as it has been. I wasn't actually at Portsmouth at the weekend. Set out to try and defend what they got. Similar to Sheffield Wednesday in a way. They tried to defend as much as possible and try and hit on the break, but what was brilliant about the Sheffield Wednesday performance was they went toe-to-toe. They almost went in a 4-2-4 formation to try and play against Sheffield Wednesday, and I believe they caught them off guard a little bit, and in a way, I was very surprised with the way they went towards that game, and I was absolutely delighted to see them actually come out and play the better football. It's been a lot of times this season where it's not necessarily been the greatest on the eye, but also to go and defend for 90 minutes is so difficult. Going to Portsmouth was always going to be a difficult challenge as well. Coming off the back of that Sheffield Wednesday result, I suppose you got a little bit more confidence to be able to go into it and think to yourself, well, they could have that threat on the break, but didn't necessarily go, I suppose, in the same sort of counter-attacking aspect that they would have liked in that game. Conceded a disappointing goal considering it across from the right, and then 5'9" winger slash forward getting his head on the ball and beating Godwin Malief in the air. A little bit disappointed in the way that goals comes around, but with the goals conceded column up in the 70s, it's very, very difficult to warrant going into a game and not conceding a goal. It's not happened too many times this season. And for example, Derby put four past Forest Green earlier in the season. Very, very difficult challenge in League One, but it's something that they've got to try and learn from. In terms of weaknesses, I think, like I just mentioned, the goals conceded column is quite terrible, really. And you look at the run of form during the mid part of the season, to go 106 days without a single victory, you're going to find yourself cut adrift like they have been. And it's tough to be able to be at the bottom for such a sustained period of time. And I think at the same time, during that spell, they took the lead 5 times in the first 10 games under Duncan Ferguson, but only managed the first win against Sheffield Wednesday. So in terms of that, you look towards how the season could have been different. The number of points on the board at 26 isn't enough, and you look at the amount of games played, you look at the amount of games that they have been in. It could have been very different if Duncan Ferguson's first game at Shrewsbury would have gone in the way of Ferguson conceded two goals in stoppage time. It was really damaging, really. And you look back and you think whether they could have held on. I think it was the first goal came in the 93rd minute and second in the 96th, or something very similar. To think that game could have gone on a knife edge almost. Could have been so different, but you can't look in the past. You've got to live from the now, and Duncan Ferguson has to take this group of players, albeit he's inherited these players from a January that was very much heavily on recruitment. They decided to twist in terms of the manager, not use Duncan Ferg not use Ian Birchnell. And he's now found himself at Anderlecht, so he's found himself a job on the back of the Forest Green move. And just interested to see how Duncan Ferguson really approaches next year. It's a real challenge to be able to take this now squad and probably overhaul it again. It's crazy to think that you can have such an outlay in January. 11 players signed, I think 11 players also going their separate ways as well, Conor Wickham being one of them. Still the top goal scorer at Forest Green, so you look at that and think he was a real important cog in the machine that Forest Green were trying to get to. He decided to move on in January. I think it was coming to a bit more of a mutual parting of ways towards the end, and he's now doing his thing at Cardiff. So we've got to move on to the players that Forest Green do have. They just got to take this season as a bit of a learning curve, I think. Derby, great side. League One is crazy to think that Derby County are in League One and going to some of the grounds that they have this season. But from the game that we played earlier in the season, I think it was David McGoldrick who absolutely tore us to pieces, really. A hat trick that day, and he was unplayable at times. You know that David McGoldrick's got that sort of quality in him. Seen it many a time. Championship player, Premier League player, but to be able to get down to League One, and almost he's so good for the level that you get him on a hot day, and there's absolutely no stopping David McGoldrick. That's for sure. And that day, he had a brilliant game. I don't think Forest Green were at their best by any means, or even close to the. Didn't really have enough going forward. I think Brian Fabima, a player who has gone back to Chelsea in January, recalled, or maybe a mutual part of ways. He had a big chance in the first half, headed over, and I think that was the only real opportunity Forest Green had that day. Very difficult afternoon to watch, but Derby County, no doubt that they'll make the playoffs and they'll be really competitive and a really tough playoff scene as well. The top six could look a very, very gun top six for League One football, which is quite crazy, but it's going to be tough. They're going to have to try and keep plugging away, aren't they? So, interesting challenge to see where they make it. But I think they'll also be targeting 3 points on Saturday. No, on Friday, sorry. I think the game will be largely in the territory of Forest Green. I think Derby County will try and do as much as they can to get on the front foot, to not also do what Sheffield Wednesday did and get sucked into a game that they don't want to play. I think Derby should be smart to the fact that Forest Green have turned over Sheffield Wednesday already, just a couple of weeks ago. They should be aware to the fact that Forest Green do have a performance in them like that, but at the same time they haven't produced it enough this season, and 12 points off the relegation places with just 7 to play. You would think that Derby County have enough quality to get over the line, and my score prediction would be 2-0 to Derby. I don't think that they should let Forest Green have much of the play. I think to myself that it's going to be a tough afternoon, but Forest Green have got to try and enjoy it. They're playing for contracts next season. They're playing to be in this side. Whether they stay at Forest Green or whether they go their separate ways at the same time, they've still got seven games to really perform, and a lot of the players have got to see that. I suppose that the performances as a whole this season just haven't been good enough, and to be able to warrant a place if you want to stay in the league, if you want to go down with Forest Green, or maybe have a miraculous escape, you never know. But Duncan Ferguson's only achieved one win so far in 11. I think it's the writing's on the wall almost. But players have got to also perform to the very end, and Derby's just the same. Interesting Easter weekend, heading to Wickham on Monday as well. So game's thick and fast. Just hopefully Forest Green can put in a competitive performance and take Derby as close as possible.
So, we move on to the other game this weekend, Monday, Bank Holiday Monday, MK Dons at home. Derby won the reverse fixture in, of course, right, feels like it was towards the beginning of the season, maybe one of Paul Warne's first games. Can't read, it's been a long old season. But if memory serves me right, it was a victory for Derby on that day. And obviously, hopefully, off the back of a result in Gloucestershire, Derby will be looking for exactly the same to really put their playoff push back on track. In a minute, we'll have the MK1 podcast inside info on MK Dons and their fight for survival. But really, a preview for that is obviously very, very similar to the preview that just done for the Forest Green game. A lot will depend on what goes on Friday. Obviously, personnel is very, very similar to not really be able to change all too much. Hopefully, there's a bit more confidence going into the Milton Keynes game on the back of a good result Friday. But again, it's another team that have managed to claw themselves out of the mire over the last few weeks. I think they got a decent result away at Sheffield Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. So they've been picking results up. So again, another team not to be sniffed at. They're gonna come and try and frustrate Derby. And if memory serves me right, the last couple of times MK Dons have come to Pride Park, they've got the result. So hopefully, you know, that doesn't continue. But let's hear from the MK1 podcast. They're going to give us all the insights for that game on Monday.
Hi team, hope you're all doing well. Liam here for the MK1 podcast, here to give you a bit of thoughts on MK Dons and our season so far and things to watch out for, and yeah, a little bit of a preview heading into Easter Monday. How's our season gone so far? It's been a pretty tough one, I'd say. It's been very frustrating, of course. You know, last season we had a team that should have got promoted, really, and the quality we had in the squad. Headed by Liam Manning, who was a young coach in his first full season at the club, came in for, of course, Russell Martin, who left basically the day after our first game of the season against Bournemouth in the Carabao Cup. And, you know, we went into the season, we recruited, spent a decent bit of money on players and transfer fees, second most in the league in terms of summer transfer fees behind Ipswich Town, and brought the likes of Jack Tucker. Of course, some Irish lads in Dara Burns, Dawson Devoy, amongst other players. And I think, you know, we had some pretty tough starts of the season. Three of our games against Cambridge away, Ipswich away, and Sheffield Wednesday at home were all big games last season. We really competed. And I've often got 3 points, which was massive in our case this last season to get into that playoff position at a minimum. And yeah, I think those first three games kind of set the tone for the whole season, really, in terms of the, yeah, we didn't really compete in any of them. Cambridge was the most damning one. I think Cambridge away last season was really built upon solidarity and, you know, grinding out a 1-0 win against a team who were very good at home, and obviously Mark Bonner at the time, who was a coach who was very, very well high regarded. Whereas the first game of the season, this season against Cambridge, was a pretty poor 1-0 away defeat, thanks to Harvey Nibbs' goal. And apart from hitting the bar in the first 30 seconds, Don didn't really offer too much in the game. And I think the hope was always that we'd turn it around. Unfortunately, it never really happened. And that ultimately led to the sacking of Liam Manning, which, you know, Liam's a really nice bloke. There's a reason why he's, and I think he's a really hard-working bloke also. There's a reason why he's gone to Oxford, and, you know, he's involved in another sort of survival battle there with them. But ultimately, I think a change had to happen. You know, you hear certain things about certain managers, and obviously what we saw on the pitch, it seemed to be the more time we had on the training pitch, the worse it got, which is obviously a very frustrating element to have about it all. And a change is needed. He brought in Mark Jackson, was the youth, or the under-23s manager for Leeds United. Last season was a part of Jesse Marsh's team to survive in the Premier League. And obviously had that final day against Brentford, which is a pretty miraculous day for them all. And yeah, so he came into Dons, and I think straight away he came across a very straightforward and cutthroat, maybe not cutthroat is the wrong word, but direct sort of head coach like we were recruited. And probably fit the sort of, he had like a job description for it. I think he fitted it overall. You know, maybe didn't have the experience some fans wanted, but this club's never really recruited on experience. And the one time it did in Paul Tisdale, I would say, despite getting promoted, it's one of the worst seasons we had as a club. So, you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen in terms of that. But yeah, I mean, we're hoping to speak to Jackson by the end of the season on our podcast. But he seems like a bloke who knows what he wants to play and knows his ideals. Someone who, you know, can really motivate players. And I think we've seen that over the last month or so in the fact of picked up 10 points in the last four games, and we're finally starting to see his sort of mentalities, and all it took was one result, and it seems to be that the results are now flowing in. Admittedly, yes, you know, we look at the fixtures we're playing, the likes of Cambridge, Morecambe, Acton Stanley, who, you know, obviously are in and around us in the league, and ultimately if you want to stay up, you're going to have to win those games, which we have done, which is fantastic. But I think we're seeing a different side from the team this sort of month, and also from Jackson, and the fact that, you know, I think he's been a bit more reserved the past couple of weeks, especially when the team was playing bad. I think he was sort of wrapping his head around how can he get this team to turn it around and keep us up. But yeah, I'm not safe yet, of course. Got a difficult run in April, which includes yourselves on Easter Monday. But I think overall we're in an okay spot moving forward. And I think with those and some potential key players, there's definitely hope in many ways. Don't get me wrong, really frustrating to watch at the moment. And I think I don't really like this season at all as a Dons fan. He's gone to most home and away games this year, but I think overall it's okay at the moment. I'm just glad we're not in a position to go down, because I think going down for Dons would be disastrous, quite frankly. And I think it would have a much bigger impact than people actually think it would, in terms of finances and what happens with staff, players, of course, fans also, who have already been screwed over this season in our opinions on the pod, but we won't get into that too much. In terms of key players, it's quite, well, I think for teams struggling at the moment, there's a few key players you can highlight. Two January signings, one of them being Jonathan Lecco. He is very much a Marmite player. There'll be times where, like against Saturday against Wickham, where he's scoring goals from just outside the box and getting you crucial points against Wickham, or he's doing silly step overs in the corner and kicking players at Lincoln, and then there's going up in a bit of a strop. That's probably why he's playing for a team 19th in League One. But there's a lot of potential there in a 23-year-old who plays on the wing to sort of say, okay, he could be a real player if Jackson can just get him to focus on what he's good at. And that's taking on players and being very direct with the football. And yeah, getting goals, really. It's same as Sully Kaikai, really. A winger who at times had been used as a right wing back, came in from Wickham in January, has gone on to Sierra Leone and unfortunately got injured. Hoping he's back for, of course, yourselves, but also Pompey on Good Friday, which we're recording prior to this, because he's a fantastic player, very good for set pieces, is a very technically gifted player, in my opinion. One we didn't really have in the squad in terms of prior to January. So to get him in on a free is a decent signing, and I'm sure there'll be other League One clubs, maybe even yourselves next season, who are looking for someone like Salih Kaikai in terms of his consistency and his goal contributions, which has been somewhat decent for a player playing wing back for some of the season. Outside January additions, Connor Grant's reset recently. So he's playing on either side of the front three, so the right or left. And, you know, he's up to 10 goal contributions this season now in all competitions, which is a pretty solid effort for a player who thought he was potentially out of the door in January. Had a really tough start to the season, couldn't really get into Liam Manning's plans. And since Robbie Sutdale's come in, who's the assistant manager, who was his manager at Rochdale, Conor Grant, after about 6 weeks of sitting on the sidelines, has really found his role as like a pressing sort of creative forward. And yeah, I think the goal contributions speak to themselves. 40% of those 10 have come in the last sort of month or so. And there's a reason why, if you go to FB reference search for like plus 90s in terms of points and goals, Conor Grant's rise at the top in terms of players who have played more than 50% of the games this season. It's because, you know, when he's on the pitch, he's creating chances and he's creating goals. And ultimately, the team's better off for it. In terms of tactics, it's changed a lot, actually. I think in terms of the key emphasis will always be the MK way, which, for those who don't know, is possession-based football with a purpose. So we're not that we're just like having the ball on our own half for 70% of the game, but we're actually moving between the lines, actually getting the ball forward when we can. And it's not always on the ground. It can be, you know, over the top. It can be curved passes, arch passes across the lines, but always assuring that we're not going backwards, not being negative, which you could say happened with other managers previously, previous to Mark Jackson. And I think the other big thing is counter-attacking football, as well as, you know, just high pressing. I wouldn't say we press a lot, but when we do press, it seems to be very high up on the centre-backs and any pivot DMs or midfielders. And yeah, also in transition. So I think with one of the big things that I've seen fixed this season has come from, he used to be really bad in transition, particularly under Liam Manning, whereas now under Jackson, we seem to be the one who's sort of triggering the transition, which is nice to see. And it's the main reason why we've got so many goals recently, and the fact that obviously with the likes of Lecco, Grant, Mo Issa, even Kaikai in some respects, and Evan Holland, the majority of them are quite pacey players who are willing to run at people and get past them. And yeah, I think that's mainly why we've got some results recently. In fact, the teams around us can't really cope with that. And some of the teams above us who are on a bit of poor form seem to struggle with that transition initially also. So it's, yeah, it's been a bit of a recipe for success. I don't think it's a long-term one, but I think for the short term, which is what's needed right now in our fight for relegation, we'll take it. Weaknesses, definitely set pieces. Again, it's something that we thought maybe we fixed or maybe dealt with from earlier in the season, but it popped up again against Wickham, exceeding both goal set pieces. I think it is a height thing mostly. Whenever we play a team like Wickham and Tafazoli, or like Bolton with Ricardo Santos or someone like that, you know, any team who's got like a ginormous centre back, none of our team can defend them because they're all just not tall enough or not physical enough. And even players like David Wheeler, who just got a knack for being in the box and a knack for positioning, seem to get the advantage on us. So I think set piece wise, there's definitely an advantage there to be had at the moment. And outside that, I think it's overall quality and keeping it up to 90 minutes. We've spoken on our podcast about 60-30 rule a lot. I think it's nullified a bit more this past sort of month or so, but ultimately, the team can play well for 60 minutes, give it their all, and then for the past last 30, the tank that sort of drains and drains to the fact where we're giving them chances every 2 seconds and we're losing points, we're losing games. It's not fun at all. And watching that repeated over and over again for part of the season was quite frustrating. But yeah, I think, listen, there's a reason we're 19th in the league at the moment. The squad isn't good enough overall. The January additions of Magoma, Lecco and Kaikai have helped for sure, but it's not the full answer, and there's definitely work that needs to be done. The return of Dean Lewington has helped things a lot in terms of stability towards the back line. I think we've seen a different Jack Tucker since that happened, and there's a reason why he's probably been player of the month for March for the Dons, and his performances this month. But I think we're a lot stronger than we were a month ago. which is obviously bad news for you, but great news for us, because I think it could keep us up, quite frankly. And we probably need about 6 points, I'd say, from the last sort of 6-7 games to stay up. And I think there's scope to get that, which I wasn't fully believable of, say, a month ago. So that's good on our front. In terms of Derby themselves, obviously a pretty paper-thin squad by the looks of things, but a squad that's full of quality players overall. They'd like to think if they can get into the playoffs, they have a good chance of doing so, and to getting through it and getting to Wembley, at least. And you look at like some McGoldrick and Hurahan players who have been on playoff campaigns, done it, seen it all. That should give you the leg up on teams like, you'd like to think, Bolton and maybe even Barnsley, in terms of they don't have that experience, whereas the key leaders in the Derby team do. Obviously, I think overall the squads of Bolton and Barnsley and obviously Ipswich also are better than Derby's, but it's often comes down to can one or two players carry you through it. From us last season, that should have been the case. You know, we had, I think, the best two players in the league, really. And with Twine and potentially even Darling also. And I think just a 5-10 minutes of petulance or 30 minutes of poor football cost us attention to Wembley and even, who knows, Championship football this season. So I think it's more about, for you guys, just keeping your heads about it and not letting this sort of losing streak get to your heads, because if that happens, you might just give it to Peterborough now, who apparently, according to their fans, are in a disastrous season despite them being sixth in the league. So yeah, I think Easter Monday will be an interesting game. Obviously Dante's away form isn't terrible. Compared to our home form, it's revolutionary, but yeah, it's not bad. Picked up the odd result here and there. I think if we can start the game well, I think we've always got a chance. I think that's the case with Don. If we start well, they give ourselves a leg to stand up on, whereas conceding early kind of ruins it for us and kind of just collapse. But I'm going to positive say 1-1. I think Derby are going to score goals. I'll be surprised if Don's managed to keep a clean sheet against Derby, despite their recent defensive solidarity for the most part, despite Wickham. But I think good teams against us will find a way to score goals against us. And I think this will be the case against Derby. It's 1-1. But I appreciate you guys inviting me on. MK1 podcast, anything Don's related. And hopefully, for your sake, I don't see you next season in terms of you getting to the Championship. But if you do, I'll speak to you then. All right, cheers. Bye.
Thanks go out to both of our preview podcast guests this week. Just before we wrap up the pod, a few bits of news to talk about. Tony Springett has been ruled out for the rest of the season. Got an injury in training. Erin Cashin gave him a bit of a whack, I think. And so he's ruled out for the rest of the season. So that's another body down. Not that he was obviously really massively involved too much, but it would have been a rotation option that's now no longer there. Obviously, already mentioned James Chester. I would fully expect him to be in the side, or certainly the matchday squad for Friday. Some club news. They've sort of announced a bit of season ticket information, which I know is something that a few fans have been wondering about. And quite rightly, I think, and it's fresh, and it's nice to get this information coming out and knowing exactly where you stand as a Derby fan. Basically, they can't announce anything until they know what division that they're going to be in. But they have given the precursor that if we stay in League One, the prices will stay the same. If Derby go up to the Championship, there'll be the prices of the last season in the Championship. Obviously with said discounts for multi-year season ticket holders. So nice bit of news on season tickets. It is always around this time of year that sort of info comes out, so good to know. And obviously we'll wait and see until we mathematically know what division we're in, and then we can that information will be released in due course. And I think that about rounds up this week. Obviously, was hoping for a couple of guests. Unfortunately, that just wasn't able. The arrangements just couldn't be made. And so hopefully you've enjoyed just listening to me waffle on. Hopefully next week we'll have obviously all the chat about the game against Forest Green. We'll have all the chat about Milton Keynes. Hopefully we're talking about two derby victories and hopefully two performances to top it off. But at the end of the day, I'm not bothered about that at the moment. I'd rather just take the 6 points. And then the next podcast, we will be probably looking ahead. Don't think we'll squeeze one in between because I think it's a Saturday, Tuesday then. I say Bristol Rovers a week on Saturday and then a Tuesday night trip to Exeter. Bristol then Exeter. Be interesting to see if Derby stay or come back from that one. Yeah, that'd be two very long journeys in the space of 4 days if they decided to travel back up to Derbyshire, but we'll wait and see. But we'll have that, and then we really are on the last knockings of the season, and let's hope Derby are still involved. Thanks to everybody for listening. Hopefully next week, as I say, there'll be other voices on the podcast. And as always, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the Rams Review Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1, on Facebook, Rams Review Podcast. Drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. And until next time, up the Rams.